just don't know what to do with myself. Don't know just what to do with myself. I'm so used to doing everything with you, planning everything for two, and now that we're through, I just don't know what to do with my time. I'm so lonesome for you, it's a crime. Going to like a summer rose, it's a sunny.
Well, Dusty may well not know what to do with herself, but who knows if you know what to do with yourself when you've got an increase in your monthly workplace pensions. There are a whole range of issues relating to pensions, of course, and who better than to begin to address this potential minefield of challenges than ace financial expert, TV presenter extraordinaire. She is the best. We know that because she is Jasmine Birtles.
Hello. Thank you. Can you be my agent? Could you be every time I go anywhere, I'd like you to introduce me, please.
Jasmine, we're more than happy to call it as we see it in every sense of the word, which is all we ever do here. We're also joined, of course, by Director of Policy at Now Pensions, the wonderful Adrian Balding. How are you, Adrian?
I'm very good this morning, Alex. Thank you.
Excellent. Jasmine, if we can come to you first, because clearly we've just had pay rises for the minimum wage. That's gone up, which is good news from that point of view. But we're still actually thinking about pensions and looking through that. Auto-enrollment, of course, started in 2012, but that means that 9 million workers have had pension contributions withdrawn from their salary and topped up by their employer. So is it a case of knowing where you stand no matter what age you are?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As you say, no matter what age you are, it's always a good idea to put money into your pension because, you know, we need a good chunk of cash when we retire to keep us in, well, you know, in the cruises around the Med at the time I'm expecting when I retire. Mm. So in order to do that, we have to put as much as we possibly can in while we're working. So although it does mean that it's likely that we're going to have a little bit less take-home pay because more is going into our pension, our future selves will thank us for doing that.
Now, this research by Now Pensions, of course, shows that while 64% are aware of the changes that are taking place, over a third aren't. I mean, Adrian, were you surprised by that at all? Or was it a case of, well, yeah, that's pretty much kind of what I felt was going to be the case?
Well, it's a little worrying because we're trying very hard to get this message out. So we've been working very closely with the employers that have chosen Now Pensions for their workplace pension, and we've been giving them materials to give to their staff to display. So we've got posters that they can put up in the work site. We've given them letter and email templates to send to staff. We've given them leaflets to hand out. We've suggested payslip wording for that little tiny box on the bottom of the payslip. So we'd like everybody to know about it. You don't actually need to know about it to take part in it because pensions are, as you said, they're automatic these days. And your employer will automatically, increase the contribution taken from your pay, and they'll increase the amount they're putting in themselves. But it would be much nicer if instead of two-thirds, we had, 100% of people knowing that this was happening.
Is that something similar to the old superannuation systems that occur within education and so on, where you effectively sort of have that pension automatically deducted as you work through your career, Jasmine?
Same sort of thing. It's automatic. I mean, I've always been very pro the idea of actually having pensions being absolutely essential, that you can't even opt out. But I think, the government felt because a lot of people were worried about it, they've offered the potential to opt out of this auto-enrollment. But as far as I'm concerned, anybody should stay in because, for a start, you're getting free money. It's not just the employee who's putting in money. It's the employer who's topping it up. And then, of course, the government adds in the tax you would have paid. So it's a triple whammy. You know, you put in some, admittedly that brings your pay packet down, and you think, but you've got all this extra. It's really worth it, I think.
I was really surprised and slightly disappointed, actually, to find that 1 in 20 savers from Yorkshire and the Humber, and indeed the South West, say that they're going to stop contributing towards their workplace pensions because they won't be able to afford the increased payment. Maybe the question should be, can they afford not to actually add to the payment? And maybe it's a case of budgeting in other areas.
Absolutely, yes, I do think that. And, of course, you know, as we know, as you mentioned, the personal allowance has gone up this month, so you can earn up an extra £350 a year if you're on the basic rate of tax before you have to start paying tax. And the minimum wage has gone up by at least 4%. So it won't be nearly as bad as it might have been. I think, frankly, it's luck that it's happened like this. But, hey, great that our actual income has gone up a bit at the same time as we're having to put a bit more into our pensions. So really, I think most people are not going to notice so much of a difference. And I know from my own experience that once you start putting money away each month, admittedly, first couple of months, it sort of feels a bit tighter. But after that, you just get used to living on less. So I think if people can hold on, and I speak particularly to mothers here, because it's mothers quite often that feel, oh, no, I can't pay this because I've got my children to pay for. I think, look, hold on, find other ways of making up the difference. Because when you come to retire, it's so important that you have as much independence as possible, as much financial independence, so that you're not depending so much on your older children.
I'd really like to echo what Jess's been saying there, because we've been hearing a lot this week about the gender pay gap, about men being paid more than women. There is also a gender pension gap. Mm. And today, the average woman is getting a pension that is one-fifth less than the average man. And the way to overcome that is you stay in the pension scheme and you keep those contributions going.
It's a really important point and one which certainly needs to be addressed. Now, Adrian, any company that actually within 6 years grows to over 1.5 million members has to be doing something right. Over the last sort of 6 years, since, of course, Now Pensions became established as an auto-enrolment master trust, have you seen people becoming more used to this side of things, or is it literally, as the name suggests, becoming automatic, apart from obviously times and features like we're having to do today to remind people that actually you need to stay in, better in than out? It's not Brexit, people.
No. Well, we talk to our members to get feedback from them, and the overwhelming feedback that comes is that they are enormously grateful that somebody else has sorted this problem out for them. They say very often that they've known for a long time that they ought to be putting something aside for their retirement, but they weren't confident about where was the best place to go and do it and how much would they be paying. And the automatic enrollment system sorts this for you. So your employer has found a good, reputable pension provider. The government has decided what the minimum level of contributions are. The trustees of the provider have decided where the money should be invested. It's all decided for you. You can just go with the flow and let it happen.
And for self-employed and freelance folk, Jasmine, is it a case of, you know, you've still got to keep thinking about the future, because at the end of the day, you can't fritter around and gamble away for the next 20 or 30 years without expecting to have some sort of recompense?
Absolutely. And I know the government's talking about bringing some sort of scheming, particularly for freelancers, which affects me. I'm freelance, always have been, so nobody else has ever put money into my pension.
That's outrageous, Jasmine. We're going to have to start the campaign now. It's ridiculous.
Keep Jasmine going.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I do talk to other freelancers a lot, there's people who run their own business, and I do say, look, just use... Standing orders are your friend, I think. You know, set up a standing order at the beginning of the month to pay yourself first before you pay the restaurants and holiday companies and bars, whatever. Because, again, you know, once you've done it, I speak from experience, it hurts to start off with. And after a while, you just don't notice it. And at least that means that you have kind of, it's like, like having somebody else looking after you a little bit as you go on, and certainly when you come to retire, because it's not necessarily the case that your business will be saleable by the time you come to retire. So some people are saying, oh, I'll sell my business and that'll keep me going. You know, nice if it works, but it doesn't work for everyone. So have a bit of money put aside in a pension, and that'll keep you going. It'll be your safety net.
Indeed. Adrian, best place to go to for people who wish to find out more about Now Pensions and indeed auto-enrollment in general.
Well, we put a blog on our website about automatic enrollment, indeed about the contribution rises that are going through, along with an infographic to explain it in detail. So head for it. You could either Google blog at Now Pensions or go to nowpensions.com/blog.
Absolutely perfect. We'll wrap up with two final questions, our usual customer satisfaction ones. Have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
Oh, very much so. Reasonably interesting,
my
kind sir.
Jasmine, I mean, it's clearly when we see your name on the running order in the sheets of the morning, we think a little, it's jumps for joy and high fives all around the studio. Yay, Jasmine's back from that point of view. Adrian's been delightful touching base with your good self as well. Hopefully we'll connect again in the very near future.
Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Still to come this morning, we've got the results of the big farmland bird count of 2018. We spoke with Jim Egan from the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust a wee while ago, and it's taken place, and we've got the results. They are in. The big farmland bird count will be revealed, and we'll find out where basically the rare species are to be found, and so on and so forth. We've also got a Fly Me to the Moon special ahead of course Middlesbrough's crucial match against Nottingham Forest coming up this weekend. And having just done auto-enrollment, what better to follow auto-enrollment with respect to financial health than real health and motivating the wellness of PharmaNord.co.uk and PharmaNord Nutritional Products with that ace chemist, of course. It's the awesome legend delivery of mini-lectures extraordinaire, Dennis the Chemist. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, sir.
Brilliant. Well, there we are, Dennis. For the next 25 minutes or so, all being well, and any kind of slight interruptions with hesitation, deviation or coughing, notwithstanding, the floor is now yours. Take care now.
Yeah, you mentioned coughing, because even I, at the grand old age of 77...
Unbelievable.
Somehow, I picked up one of these bugs. Somebody coughed or sneezed on me.
Coughs and sneezes spread diseases, Cat Dennis.
Some
do they not realise this?
Germs and a handkerchief.
Exactly. Yes.
That was the famous saying. Anyway, I never had to take off work. I battled through, and here we are. So, you mentioned PharmaNord, the Danish company, where in Denmark, all health food products have to be made to to pharmaceutical standards. And I often, when I'm reading the newspapers, I'm linking the news as to how Pharmanord products can help people when I read the different situations that failing health due to our lifestyles address many aspects of our illnesses that we get. So, for example, in the Daily Mirror last Friday, a little article, 40% of cases wouldn't exist if people had healthier lives. This article goes on to say nearly 40% of cancer cases could be avoided with lifestyle changes, a new study reveals. The numbers are astronomical. More than 135,000 cases a year, or 2,600 a week. They're talking about cancer. Then this number might never develop if we choose healthier lives. And who says this? The prestigious Cancer Research UK. The latest figures published in the British Journal of Cancer found smoking remains the biggest preventable cause of cancer, despite the continued decline in smoking rates. And being overweight came second, with overexposure to UV radiation from the sun and sunbed came third. Other preventable causes include boozing, eating too little fiber, and of course, outdoor air pollution. Cancer Research UK's chief executive, Sir Harpal Kumar, said, "Leading a healthy life doesn't guarantee that a person won't get cancer, but it can stack the odds in your favour." So, it's stating the obvious. Smoking, too much boozing, overeating, not doing enough exercise. It's important for the nation to address these points. Another article, heading NHS admissions for obesity soar by 20% in 1 year. In 1 year. It goes on to say, hospital admissions for obesity-related conditions have risen by almost 20% in a year, affecting twice as many women as men. Knee and hip problems, heart disease and gallstones are among the leading problems connected to excess weight, which are treated by the NHS. This next figure, so big, official figures show a record 617,000 admissions to hospitals were linked to obesity. And that was from linking it to the previous year, when it was still a big number, but it was less, 525,000 admissions into hospitals due to obesity. It's now gone up to 617,000. So there are so many things that people can do to try and maintain good health and avoid these pitfalls that we're all experiencing. A little article here, short exercise bursts, half the death risk. Just an hour of exercise in short bursts spread throughout the day can slash the risk of dying prematurely by an unbelievable 57%. This is talking about whether swapping the lift for a brisk walk up the stairs or going on a 10-minute walk to the corner shop. It's pointing out these sporadic bouts of raising the heartbeat are as effective as sustained exercise session in reducing the risk of death. People have been bombarded with advice on how much exercise they should do to combat the ill health effects of a sedentary lifestyle. But at Duke University School of Medicine in North Carolina, they discovered that bursts of activity of fewer than 10 minutes over the day was as good as any recommended exercise regime. In the study, people who got fewer than 20 minutes of moderate or vigorous activity each day had the highest risk of death, and those who got 60 minutes a day cut their risk by 57%. Professor William Krause said, "For about 30 years, guidelines have suggested that moderate to vigorous activity could provide health benefits, but only if you sustained the activity for 10 minutes or more. That flies in the face of public health recommendations like taking the stairs instead of the elevator and parking further from your destination." And this study was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. And what we're learning from that last piece that I just read out, short exercise bursts half the death risk. It's telling you that when you do short exercise bursts, you are raising your heart rate. Remember, to gain a long life, a healthy life, it's not just exercising the muscles of your arms and your legs and the joints. It's the heart rate. You've got to raise your heart rate. And listening to the radio for many hours without getting up and doing a little burst of activity, or watching television 7 hours a night without getting up, changing channels, pressing a button, you're not raising your heart rate. You have to raise your heart rate to get it the activity, to give it a workout. The heart needs a workout, and at least 10 minutes a day can make a big difference if you raise the heart rate. Where does Pharma Nord come into this story of health, of avoiding cancer, of avoiding heart problems, of avoiding obesity, of avoiding diabetes? Well, Pharma Nord are a Danish company, and as I said before, all Danish companies making health food products have to make them by Danish law to pharmaceutical standards. And so Pharma Nord have a range of about 40 products which all are helping to address the problem of old age and poor health, which is often leading to obesity, cancer, diabetes, and just ill health in general. So some of the products that Pharma Nord make specifically for helping some of the problems I've just been reading about. Their main two biggest sellers are the capsule called Bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram. What a mouthful, especially if you, the listener, I've never heard of that capsule before. I've been taking it over 20 years. I'm 2.5 years off 80. My mother on it did all the bookwork for the shop up to her death at 92. My uncle lived to 99.5, fully compass mentis. He was taking Q10. And we're also all taking their second biggest product, which is a product made from the world's rarest mineral, selenium. It's called Seleno Precise. Excuse me. And it's a tablet. It costs about 10p a day. And I can tell you, listeners, that where we live, Great Britain, when the planet was made 4 billion years ago, we drew the short straw. We have the lowest selenium levels as a country in the world. And that's one of the reasons why we've got the highest breast cancer and the highest prostate cancer and the highest heart problems. Besides doing exercise and raising your heart and eating sensibly, you need the mineral selenium. Now, you can get it, in particular, from eating a handful of Brazil nuts each day. There was an article in the paper, it was in the Daily Mail this week, where they were quoting nutritionalist Amanda Hamilton, and it was under the heading Mood Food, and it said Brazil nuts for a happiness hit. And she goes on to write, next time you're feeling the blues, put away the chocolate and try a handful of Brazil nuts. It's one of the richest sources of selenium, the world's rarest mineral. The Brazil nuts are one of the ultimate mood-boosting food. 2 or 3 nuts will help you hit your daily allowance of getting selenium. So they have found that those who are deficient experience anxiety, irritability, and tiredness. Plus, Brazil nuts contain plenty of another mineral, magnesium. Magnesium helps to calm your nerves. And I can tell you, because I was in Switzerland 29 years ago, when I heard the World Authority speak for an hour on magnesium, it's in more pathways in the human body than any other mineral. Over 320 different pathways. It helps irregular heartbeats. It's equally important as calcium to give you strong bones, for chronic fatigue sufferers, fibromyalgia, poor sleepers, people who can be easily irritable during their daily life, can all be addressed with magnesium. So yes, you can take Brazil nuts every day, or you can take a Pharmanord tablet called Bio Seleno Precise, which will give you 200 millionths of magnesium, of selenium, to add it to the lousy levels that the British soil puts into our food. When we grow food in Great Britain, even the grass that the cow eats, and then if you do eat meat, if you eat a steak, you're getting very little selenium because the grass that the cow eats, because basically cows are made of grass, so your steak is made of grass because the cow eats the steak, the cow eats the grass, and it's very low in selenium. And there are 25 pathways that you have to make in your body from selenium. Selenium P protects your liver. Selenium K, K for kidney, protects your kidney. Selenium M for muscle, protects your muscles. Selenium N protects your nerves. Thioredoxin reductase selenium makes your thyroid gland work properly by converting thyroxin T4 into the active version, T3. Any ladies, it's mainly ladies who are underactive thyroids, or you do get a few men, if you take Bio Seleno Precise, one tablet a day, that will help you convert your little white tablet thyroxine into the more active T3. And then you'll get all the benefits, the true benefits, of taking the thyroxine, which helps to reduce overweightness, depression, and tiredness. Because your thyroid is important in controlling those different facets of your body. And magnesium, Pharma Nord make a tablet called Bio Magnesium. It's reasonably priced. You get 60 tablets for about $5.95, and you get 150 tablets with 30 free for about $11.95. And as I say, magnesium is so important. We're all low in magnesium. Whenever you eat white flour, the flour has had the good stuff, the fiber removed, and it's become white flour to make white bread, white pizza, white pasta. In making the flour white, unfortunately, they remove up to 70% of your magnesium, and you need your magnesium. What else are we reading? Pill-popping Britain. Now we're prescribed 1.1 billion prescriptions in a year. 10 years ago, listeners, the number of prescriptions in Great Britain was 500 million, 500 million. And two Februarys ago, it was announced, it's doubled, 1.1 billion prescription, an increase, well, I said, nearly 40% in 10 years. Britain are now picking up 3 million prescriptions a day. One of the prescription medicines is a life-saving drug, so this is a very important one. It's the statins. Although you see a lot of publicity knocking statins, it's actually a brilliant medicine, saving many lives. And there's a particular form of high cholesterol called, it's a mouthful, so get ready to listen to this, heterozygous familial hypercholesteremia. What does that mean? Well, heterozygous means you got the condition usually from one of your parents who also had high cholesterol. Heterozygous familial, familial means in the family. I just said you got it from one of your parents, your mum or your dad. Heterozygous familial hypercholesteremia, not hypo, which means lower. Hyper means higher, high cholesterol levels. So you've got heterozygous familial hypercholesteremia. The cholesterol can be measured in your blood. And when you have this heterozygous familial hypercholesteremia, it means you've got a greater chance of getting your arteries furred up because you're making too much cholesterol. And the statin drugs, from the Latin words statin to stop, names like atorvastatin, simvastatin, rovastatin, there's about seven of them that doctors prescribe. The statin drugs, the word to stop, they stop cholesterol being made in the liver. Brilliant drugs. The only thing is, the pathway that the statins block is the same pathway that makes this substance, Q10, which gives you energy. So when you eat food, and when you breathe in oxygen, the food plus the oxygen are joined together to give you your energy molecule called ATP. But in order to join them together, you need the Q10, which is made in your liver, the same pathway that makes your cholesterol in the liver. So when the wonder drugs, the statins, block the production of cholesterol, they can reduce the production of your Q10, the very substance that gives you your energy, it can reduce it by up to 50%. So you don't stop the statin, or you don't jump from one statin to another. No, just put back the Q10. And when I was in Sweden 6 years ago at a world conference, we heard the results of a trial of elderly people in my age group, 70 to 90, 400 people in the village called Sika. Farmer Nord actually sent me to the village to hear the result, because the trial were using Farmer Nord selenium, the Seleno Precise tablet, and their Q10 capsule, bioquinone Q10 gold 100 milligram. They'd given half the elderly people dummy ones, and half got two Q10 capsules a day and one selenium tablet a day. And they followed these 400 people, half on the real ones, half on the dummy ones. They followed them for 5 years, looking as to see if the two products from Pharmanaut could lower the chance of dying of a heart attack. Heart attacks kill one person in three, so obviously it's a very common cause of dying. The results were amazing. Those taking two bioquinone Q10 gold 100 milligram capsules a day, one with a breakfast, one with an evening meal, and one tablet, cost 10 pence a day, of Bio Seleno Precise, this precise amount of 200 micrograms that we need, in conjunction with the Q10, the death rate dropped in elderly people aged 70 to 88 an unbelievable 10%, no, 20%, 30%, 40%, no, 54%. Listeners, the death rate dropped 54% from taking two bioquinone Q10 gold 100 milligram capsules and one Seleno Precise tablet. And even the marker for an aging, damaged heart in the age group 70 to 90. Because remember, as you get older, your arms and leg muscles tend to shrink. The modern name is sarcopenia, the doctors use, for muscle loss. Sarco is Greek for flesh, and penia is poverty. And poverty of flesh happens as you pass 45 to 55 to 65 to 75. Each decade you're losing up to 10% of your muscle. When you get to my age group, 75 to 85, then you're losing up to 30% of your muscle, and you can become a bit old and doddery. This noise is me thumping my six-pack, because I've been taking these products for years, and I have no muscle loss. My arms feel like steel. My thighs are like the thighs of a young man, and you've just heard me thumping my six-pack. Because taking the Q10 and the selenium have stopped me getting the sarcopenia, the muscle loss. And the marker that the two products, selenium and the Q10, lowered tremendously to zero, the marker for an aging heart is called NT-proBNP. That's the name that the doctors use for a marker that can be found in your blood as you pass 70. And it's indicative of your heart getting weaker. And in the people taking age 70 to 88, two of the Q10 from Pharma Nord and one selenium tablet a day over the 5 years, the marker never went up at all. That is mind-blowing. And as I said, the death rate from dying of a heart attack dropped an unbelievable 54%.
Splendid, Dennis. Absolute perfection. And without any coughing at all, just a slight sip of water. Very impressed.
Well,
marvelous.
twice,
exactly. I was just going to say...
Well, two between friends.
Precisely.
And 35,000 listeners.
Well, exactly. This is the key thing. Coming up very shortly, we'll find out the result of the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust's Big Farmland Bird Count 2018. You might be pleased to know, Dennis, I'm not sure if you're a twitcher at all or an ornithologist, but there are some...
Yes, I take... tablets for my twitching nerves.
Okay.
That
Ken Dodd would have been proud of that. God bless him. I mean, that's what I would say. You know, Ken, who had...
When I was newly married, I had my father-in-law's car. I was driving to Bristol. I took the wrong motorway. It was a fast car. And I ended up in Knotty Ash. I thought, Knotty Ash? I've taken the wrong motorway. That's Ken Dodland.
Exactly. There we are. And he's looking down, I'm sure, sort of still delighted. Of course, you can still listen to some of the Ken Dodd material
he
which he did on South Side. Indeed. And it has to be said, you know, in terms of duration, it's probably Ken Dodd just about ahead of your good self in terms of duration, but that's only because we stop you, Dennis. That's all. Otherwise, you'd probably go on in the same sort of way. Dennis, a delight as ever. Back again next week.
Yes, all being well. Thank you.
And I forgot to mention, actually, that in terms of the Great Birdland Farm Count, it's good news, because actually 121 species have been spotted across the United Kingdom, and there are significant sightings of rare species, Dennis. So there we are.
Wow, 121!
121 species, exactly. So there we are. I'll give you 121 species, 236,000 birds on 950,000 acres across the UK.
I once saw a heron in my back garden.
I shall relay that to our ace correspondent, Jim, who'll be talking about that and more in a few moments.
I've been here 47 years, and only once did I see a heron.
Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I've tried my way to be free. Like a worm on a hook, like a knight in an old-fashioned book, I've saved all my ribbons for thee. And if I've been unkind, I hope that you will let it go by. And if
David Soul's interpretation of the Leonard Cohen classic Bird on a Wire, and needless to say, a seamless connection there between Dennis Gore's spotting of a heron a few years ago, when apparently he was after the goldfish, and of course the welcome return of that fantastic, extraordinary soul from the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust. It's only the legendary Jim Egan. How are you, Jim?
I'm very well, thank you.
Brilliant. Good to connect with you again. Now, when we spoke a few weeks ago, obviously there's a bit of tension, but excitement about doing this great British bird count. It's the fifth one it's taken place. More than 1,000 farmers across the country have taken place in this whole system. And actually, I would say, Jim, it seems as though it's good news. What say you, sir?
I think it's been a great success this year. Thanks for that introduction too, by the way. It's been really great. They've seen 121 different species. And you sit down and think about that, you know, a lot of farms have seen 10, 15, 20 species, but when you add it up across the country, they've seen a whole range of things, all the way from barn owls right the way through to yellowhammers at the other end of the alphabet. So, yeah, really good, really encouraging, and very pleased to see over 1,000 people take part this year.
Absolutely. 121 species spotted across the United Kingdom. Skylarks, song thrushes, yellowhammers are all in the top 25 birds from that point of view, and they were all formerly appearing in the Red List, which, of course, were species which actually had the highest conservation priority.
And that's the thing that's really, really pleased us, Alex. That's where we're thinking, hey, this is quite good. The fact that the top five seen are easy ones, if you like, to recognise. We can all go out probably and identify a blackbird and a wood pigeon and see a robin and a pheasant. And that's not, you know, lots of farmers have seen them because they're highly visible. But the fact they've seen things like fieldfare, redwings and linnets that are the fieldfare and redwings come here and overwinter from Scandinavia. They live off the berries on the hedgerows. They like living in grass fields. And the fact that we've seen so many, for me, is really encouraging that we've had a relatively healthy farming environment over this winter.
Will the beast from the east have had any impact in terms of this event or the climatic conditions in terms of birds saying, that's it, we've had it with Europe, we're going to Britain?
Unfortunately, the count actually took place just before the beast from the east arrived. But the beast from the east will have had a massive impact on the farmed environment. You know, it's made it difficult for farmers. Lambing in this type of weather, that type of weather has been difficult. If you're an arable farmer or a vegetable farmer, getting onto the land has been difficult. And for birds, it's been really difficult because it's right towards the end of the winter and it's the time when seed and food is really scarce, and then to get plunged into cold, damp, wet, horrible conditions, a lot of birds will have struggled through those months, which makes it even more important that the work that farmers do becomes more important, like seed feeding and stuff.
Indeed, it's not easy being a blackbird, a wood pigeon, a robin or a blue tit in such conditions.
Not more.
In terms of the way that people have been working on this, as I say, great to see that 1,000 farmers have actually taken part in this whole system. But providing feed, that's also meant that more birds will survive to breed. So it's very much a kind of virtuous circle that we've got here, that it's human beings actually helping our fellow citizens on the planet.
It is, and a lot of us will, at home in urban areas, will hang bird feeders up right through the winter, and farmers do similar sorts of things. They'll put containers and feeders out, they'll scatter feed, and lots of people forget that now's the critical time. It was actually sunny when I left this morning to come down to London, but, you know, it's sunnier, it's starting to get warmer, starting to get drier, but birds still need that seed to be fit and healthy for the breeding season. And then they rely on farmers providing them good nesting habitat and the insects that they need for their young to fledge and successfully breed through the summer.
Indeed. Well, let's hope the good weather continues, because, of course, Lincoln City exit Wembley for the first time ever in their 133-year history, performing against Shrewsbury.
My colleague in the farm office at work has his ticket. He's smiling and happy and on his way.
Now, is he an Imp supporter or is he a Shrewsbury person?
No, he's a true long-term Imp supporter.
And not a Glory Boy, obviously.
Not a Glory Boy. But it does really hurt when I travel from Mansfield to go share the office with him.
Oh, dear. Never mind. It'll all pan out. Really good to see that over the last 5 years, though, for this particular event, 2,500 farms have taken place in this Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust's big farmland bird count. It's pretty much become an annual thing, and hopefully will continue for the next 5 years as well.
We hope so, and we hope out of all of that, Alex, that we can start to plot some trends. But more importantly, the more farmers that take part year on year, they'll be able to plot trends on their own farm, and I know that once they start to appreciate and understand what's there, they're more likely to do more stuff, and we're more likely to have more farmland birds. So hopefully, we'll be back talking to you for the next 5 years.
Well, we've looked at some of the headlines, but if people want to drill down, so to speak, into the data, where's the best place to go, Jim, in terms of finding out details about the results of the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust's Big Farmland Bird Count 2018?
It's the website, so it's gwct.org.uk/BFBC. There's heaps of stuff in there with all the results, and there's also, for members of the public and farmers, links to fact sheets. When you're out walking in the countryside, it'll help you identify birds, and for farmers, it'll help you see what tweaks to management you can make to help those birds on your farm.
And we've also just been reminded that, of course, for those folk who aren't actually heading down to Wembley for Sunday's event, there is, of course, the launch of Countryside Links at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground, which I always like to think is the beginning of a whole new time. It hasn't been going quite as long as the bird count, but it's into its fourth year now, so it's nip and tuck, really, from that point of view. So great opportunity there. Jim, it's been fabulous as ever, touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Yes, thank you. It's been great.
And can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future, and hopefully, as we said, as we're kind of adjacent counties, certainly in terms of Lincolnshire and Leicestershire, coming down and actually visiting you in the very near future this year.
Yeah, that would be great. It would be really great to see you on the farm.
stuck inside these four walls, sent inside forever, never seeing no one nice again like you.
Get out.